You're listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. You can find notes for this message along with more information about our church by visiting church2911.com. Here's our lead pastor, Rick Hand, with this week's message.
I got a lot to say, so let's jump into it. If we can, let's do a little backup. We've talked 3 weeks about go. We're going to talk 3 weeks about teach now. And first week, we talked about the imperative. It is absolutely imperative that we go, that we've got to reach out to others. And the challenge that week was for us to invite somebody. If you haven't done that yet, come on, catch up with us. Invite somebody to something, you know, you do. You know, church on Sunday, or kids church, or teens, or a grow group or something. Invite somebody to that. Then the second week, Kurt shared with us, and he pressed us to go a little farther. And so what does that mean? Do something a little bit more than just invite. Go a little farther with something. If you haven't done that yet, do that. Last week, we talked about promising to pray for someone. And, you know, and that one sounds a little bit scary. And so, didn't ask you to pray for someone, just promise to pray for someone. And one of the things we had to do at the close of the service is as we prayed, we were asking God, give us the opportunity to do that. Now listen, I was praying that with you guys for myself because I'm around Christians a lot, you know, and right now still recovering from the broken back and the concussion stuff, you know, I'm not getting out a whole lot, you know, seeing a lot of unchurched people. And so I was praying along real hard too. So God, you got to give me an opportunity because I'm just going to see Christians if you don't this week. And you know what? God did. And listen, it was somebody that I had to connect with outside the church. Had to connect with them in the business, and I was talking to them over the phone, and they shared with me how their daughter was. They said, I'm sorry, my daughter was sick, so I was a little slow in getting back to you and all that. And I said, you know, there was my open door. I said, well, is she going to be okay? You need anything? So he told me a little bit about how she was sick, and I said, I'm going to be praying for her. And I thought, thank you, God, you did that. Guess when God gave me that? 8:22 a.m. Monday morning, the day afterward, that early. And I just felt like that was kind of a sign. You needed to see that God can do that. He can open doors for you if you're looking and if you're asking him for it. So ask him for that. So if you haven't told somebody, tell them this week. If you didn't do that last week, do it. And that's probably something you should be ready to do any week, not just this week, okay? And so today we're going in to teach. Now, what is it we're supposed to teach, okay? Matthew 28, verse 20 says we are supposed to teach everything. What's the scripture? Teaching them to obey everything. Everything God has commanded us. Everything Jesus told the disciples and his followers. He said, go and teach them everything I've told you. So let's be careful to not just, you know, focus in on our little pet peeves and our little things. And you know, I was thinking past couple weeks, I was thinking about this in relation to this is, you know, when you think about denominations, I think, and most of us were probably raised in a denomination, even though we're a non-denominational church. One of the things that always seemed to, you know, I mean, if you told somebody, well, I'm Southern Baptist, or I'm Missionary Baptist, or I'm Methodist, or I'm Assembly of God, or Church of God, or Presbyterian, or whatever it is, you started saying that, people automatically thought about the one thing that sets you apart. Because you know what we do? Is that's what we kind of harp on most of the time. You know, the one thing that sets us apart, where we're different than every other denomination, that's why I say to you, we got to make sure that we don't just share the stuff that's on our heart and mind, but share the stuff that's important. Share what matters. I'm going to talk to you about that real quick if I can, okay? Because it's really easy. It's really easy for us human beings to get sidetracked and to make things that really don't matter, to just make them important. You know, this past Friday night in our grow group that Jeff and Stephanie lead, somebody said it. You've heard this before, right? I mean, we say it all the time. Say it again. You know, that you have to keep the main thing, the yeah, right? And we have to remind ourselves that, because we don't, we're making little bitty nothings the main thing. And here's scripture for you. So James chapter 4 about sharing what matters. James chapter 4 says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Okay, let me slide this over just a little bit so I can turn around a little bit better. So our life is a vapor. Think about this. Jesus lived here on the earth 2,000 years ago, right? Okay, here's our 2,000-year timeline. Your great-great-great-great-great-great-granddad lived 60, 70 years, maybe a little bit older than that. How big is that in this 2,000-year-old time? I mean, it's like this, right? Now, stretch that out another 10,000 years. How big is your life in that 10,000 years? It's a vapor. It comes and it goes. And all the stuff that we make so important, not so important. Like, what are we making? One of the things we make important today is money. And you got to have money for everything you pretty much do around life, right? But I'll tell you, I'm more on target with that is like putting aside money than I was, say, 20 years ago, because I'm realizing, hey, there's going to be one day that, you know, I'm going to retire. You guys are going to say I'm too old to do this, you know, and it's going to be time for me to retire. So, you know, I've been trying to put a little extra money back. So I understand that. But you know what? You can put back all the money you want to in this world, and all it takes is one tragedy. All it takes is one frivolous lawsuit, and you're back to the poorhouse. That's all it takes. And we think these things are important. Sometimes we forget what's really important. Or things like, you know, the things that we accomplish, our accomplishments, our awards, our trophies. You know, those are the things, yeah, because they're tangible. You know, like that trophy, that's tangible. People are going to remember that, all those trophies down in Tuscaloosa or in Auburn. You know, people are going to remember that stuff, right? Let me ask you. How many of you have your granddad's bowling trophy on your mantle at home? I mean, anybody, you know? And every time somebody comes over, you say, let me show you this. And you got to tell them the story. We don't do that, do we? You might brag. You know, I've got some stories of my prowess as a softball player from years ago, you know? And I love to find a time to throw in one of those stories. And the good part about this is every time I tell the story, I get even better, you know, than I was the time before, right? You know, but my great-grandkids are not going to say, let me tell you about the time my great-granddad scored from second base on a pop fly to the outfield. They're not going to share that story. I think it's pretty awesome, and I want to share. You know, we've all got those things, our accomplishments, our awards, our trophies, and all those things. They're not going to last much longer than our life. Or things like our connections. You know, that's another thing that we think is really important. You know, who you know. You know, I could say, Jeff, you said the other night when you said something about Jeremiah Castile, I was impressed. I don't know if anybody else knows who he is, but Jeremiah Castile, Chet Williams, a few of you are impressed if I tell you. And I've done conferences with them and those kinds of things, but a lot of you don't know. But let me tell you about somebody else's story. I know someone, it's not my story, it's somebody else's. I know someone who's on a first name basis with Bob Riley. Oh, you're not impressed, are you? So let me ask you, how many of you know who is Bob Riley? Raise your hand up real high. I really want to kind of say, well, more than the first. Well, no. More over here. But it was about 10 this morning in the first service, and now it looked like about 10, even though we got a bigger crowd here. Bob Riley is a former governor of the great state of Alabama, okay, about 20 years ago. So let me tell you the story. At that time in 2006, 07 and 08, I was serving as a state director of First Priority. That's the early morning Bible clubs at high schools and middle schools. And I was doing this. We were already getting ready to plant a church, you know, so we took about 2 or 3 years to really put everything we had into it. But I was serving with them, and one of the big events that First Priority promotes is an event that actually started in Texas, I think in 1990, called See You at the Pole. You've probably heard of that. It's where the kids, they gather around the pole on a certain day right as school is starting, just a couple of weeks into school, and they pray over their school. They pray for one another. Well, I had this heart. This is something that First Priority did. They really pushed it. And so I had this heart that I didn't want to just have students praying for themselves. I want to get parents praying for students. So we picked a day, kind of opposite of the calendar. We went to the spring since that's in the fall. We picked a day and we called it Day of Prayer over students. And so we wrote this proclamation out and we contacted our state senator, Jabbo Wagner, at that time. And he got us set up to go down and meet the governor, Bob Riley, and they do this day where there's a day where he signs a bunch of proclamations like this. And so we go into the room, we load up our van and load up the staff and go down, and we get into the room. We're sitting waiting our time. They call us up. It's our time. We shake hands with him, introduce ourselves one by one. He reaches into a stack of ink pens and takes a pen, and he signs our proclamation that we have written about a day of prayer over students in the state of Alabama. And then, you know, he turns around and he gives us each one of the ink pens that was in that stack, you know, and as commemorative, and, you know, and we say our goodbyes. Well, we take a picture, the commemorative picture, you know, that you got to stand behind him. And then we say our goodbyes, and we're walking toward the door, and we've got our, you know, we've already said goodbye. We got our backs totally turned to him, almost at the door, and the governor of the great state of Alabama calls out these two big, important words. Bye, Deva. Your pastor's wife is on a first-name basis with Bob Riley. But you can't be really impressed because you don't even know who he is, right? The bad part about that whole story is she wasn't even on staff, but some of the staff said, oh, you've got to go because you're the wife of the state director. And so she went with it, and she stole all of our thunder, right? Deva hates that story, and that's probably why she found something else to be doing right now, and she's probably back in kids' church or something. But I thought, man, I'd be telling that story everywhere, that of all those people, that's the name he remembered. Of all the rest of us, the ones who wrote the proclamation and everything, so she knows that. So, but who's going to remember that? You know, her grandkids aren't because she's not telling the story. You know, I like to throw it in every once in a while, you know, but they're not telling the story. All of those things, none of those things matter. Look around you. Everything you see right here, it's all going to go away. It's going to turn to rust, dust, or ash. It's not going to be here one day. And the Bible tells us about that day. The Bible tells us about that day and that it's coming. And that's what those scriptures are. They're in the sermon notes, and you can get there from the app that Brent was just talking about. And I really encourage you to go look at that. If you hadn't looked at that, I'd really love to preach some of this. God hadn't led me to yet, so I want to throw it in right here. Go look at these scriptures and then bring them up this week at Grow Group, okay? Grow Group leader, you better be ready, all right? Read these, and just in case somebody's got a question about some of those. But you need to read through these. Please do this week, because this is something that you need to be aware of. And I think this is something that we're somewhat illiterate these days in end time stuff. And so we need to look at that. This is all going away. Okay. What is actually going to last? Well, Jesus told us, didn't he? He said in Matthew 24, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. The only thing that you will amass, not connections, not friends, not money, not awards, and the only thing you will amass in this life that you can carry into the next is the word of God that you hide in your heart. That's the only thing. So what matters? What matters? The thing that's going to last 1,000, 10,000, an eternity, that's what's going to matter, right? But let me tell you something else that matters. What matters to Jesus? We've been talking about this throughout this sermon series. It's kind of the reason for it. But let me give you some more scriptures right here on that. What matters to Jesus? In Mark chapter 3, says he, Jesus appointed 12 that they may be with him. They might be with him. That goes on to say that they might be with him and that they might preach and that through him they might have authority over evil spirits. But note what is said first, that they might be with him. Jesus wants you to be with him. That's what matters. That's why he died. He didn't die on the cross of Calvary just to forgive you of your sins. That was just the vehicle to get you back to him. Reconciliation through grace. That's the whole point, is he wants you to be with him. He wants to be with you. Matthew chapter 11, come to me. Revelation chapter 3, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I'll come in. We'll have dinner together. I mean, I'll come in. I'll stay a while, okay? Let's fellowship. And Matthew 28:20, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And I've got more scriptures. If you'll go to the sermon notes, you'll find them there. He wants to be with you, and he wants you to be with him. That's what matters to Jesus. That's why this sermon series is so important. But let me remind you about something else. Okay, a couple of more scriptures. This is in Luke, really close to the end of Luke, just a few days before Jesus leaves the earth, goes back to the Father after resurrection, after, you know, the crucifixion. In Luke 24, he's talking to his disciples. He said, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city of Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And you and I, we get excited about that because, man, it's about the power of God. And it's about the gift. We know about the gifts, don't we? we? They didn't know about the gifts. We know about the gifts now, so we can get excited because we can pray for healing. We can pray for miracles. We can pray for God to speak to us, give us a word of wisdom or knowledge to help us through our life. But that's not all the purpose there. Now Luke also writes the book of Acts, and so he continues a little bit of this in Acts chapter 1 and 8, and he says, Jesus, these are Jesus' words as he's recording, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in all the world. So the purpose, we get excited about the power. Oh, yes, I need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need those gifts. But the reason for those is not just so that we can say, oh, I get to pray for that for myself, but that we can be witnesses to others. You see, the previous slide I wanted you to see, what matters to Jesus is he wants to be with you. On this slide, I want you to see what also matters to him is he wants to be with those that don't know him yet. And he wants them to be with him. That's why we must go and we must share everything. Everything. Now, I don't have time to preach about everything today, so I'll preach about one thing. I'll go ahead and tell you, I've been saving till the end of the sermon what the challenge is. I'll go ahead and tell you what it is today for this week. This is the challenge this week, is to share your story. Share your story. But I got to say something right here also, briefly, all right? Do y'all know what an elevator pitch is? Anybody? You know? Elevator pitch? Okay, if you're a salesperson, you gotta whittle it down. You got to get real small so that you can share it. In the time it takes, you go from the first to the fifth floor, or however long you're going to be on that elevator. That's what an elevator pitch is. So you bring it down to where you can share it in time, and if you're not a salesperson, your business, somebody asks you, you want to be able to tell them, especially if they might get involved in your business, become a customer or something, or just want to be involved some way, And so you got to whittle that down. And so that's what we're kind of talking about here, except once you get it down to elevator pitch, you need to get it down a little smaller, okay? Because people aren't going to give you that much time. I normally don't even listen to an elevator pitch. I'm already checking you out. Nope, whatever. And so that's the way it is. If we're not careful, people will get bored with us sharing our story. And so you got to work on this a little bit. Let me give you an example, all right, about sharing your story, okay, because that's the next thing. Here's an example. And I don't know who said this first, but I'm giving Bryce Crawford credit for it today because I want to tell you his story. He said, Jesus loves you isn't the gospel. All right, now I read this and I thought, whoa, okay, that's intriguing. I don't know that I'd ever heard anybody say it, and so it made me want to look and see what was in his story. Let me say this. Here's what he's saying, though, is Jesus loves you is not the gospel. You can walk around all day and tell people Jesus loves you. That's good, but that's not the gospel. It's part of the gospel, but it's not the whole gospel, and today we're talking about sharing everything, right? We're supposed to teach everything Jesus told us, not just that he loves us, but he wants to help us through our stuff, and he wants to deliver us from our sin, not just one day, but even right now, and all that kind of, all of that is important. So it made me want to look and see what his story was. See, that's the purpose of sharing your story briefly, is hopefully then you get the door open. You share something like, somebody's saying, well, I know Jesus loves me. And you say, well, Jesus loves you is not the gospel. And they're like, well, you just opened the door. So that's why we want to share our story briefly and see if the door opens, because we're not trying, and this is one of the fallacies that we have in our mind about evangelism. And if you weren't here last week, you won't get this exactly. Please listen to the sermon from last week. But there are a ton of seeds that are planted in our lives before we ever come to know Jesus Christ, okay? And so when I'm saying share your story briefly, I'm not saying, okay, introduce yourself and go through the whole thing. You're going to lose them way before you get there. Just share your story briefly and see what door God opens. Here's Bryce Crawford's story, and that's why I wanted to share this with you about how this opened my mind. I wanted to hear more of it, okay? On Christmas Day of 2020, he was done. He was quitting life. He had decided to commit suicide. He had set up everything of what he was going to do, the way he was going to commit suicide. He had set everything up, and he went to Waffle House and says, I'm going to just have one more meal. And he gets to Waffle House, and I know, I was like, why Waffle House? Well, God was in that, okay? Because you're going to see what happens here. He goes to Waffle House, and as he's sitting there, an older man comes in that his wife is filing for divorce. And he's despondent, and he says this. He says, there can be no growth in a relationship unless the love is mutual. Okay, did that mean anything to some? It probably meant something to some of y'all. And I'm like, okay, you know, sounds, I guess that sounds okay. But it blew Bryce Crawford away. There can be no growth in a relationship unless the love is mutual. And he said, I realized that maybe the reason I didn't feel God's love is I had never given him an opportunity to love me back. And so when he went home, instead of finishing out the plan, he prayed, God, if you're real, then please take away this anxiety and this depression that I have. And this doesn't happen for everybody, but God delivered him of the anxiety and the depression that very day, and he's never had it ever again. And now he's a 22-year-old young man who is self-described as a missionary to Los Angeles, California. Think about that. From 17 to 22, think about that. He is a missionary to Los Angeles, California. A young man from Cartersville, Georgia. He's a missionary like that. What an amazing story there is. And so, you know, there's a whole lot more stuff that I didn't hear in the story, you know, but I want to, you know. Okay, we're talking about briefly here. I heard everything that's important. I heard all that matters. You see, if I'd been following around that day and I was journaling what was going on in his life, I would have told you, you know, how he was planning to commit suicide. That really didn't matter in the story and probably would have been a distraction. Okay? So you got to think about that when you're sharing your story. Don't throw a bunch of distractions in there. Just tell him what matters. You know, I would have probably told you what he had to eat. You know, I would have probably told you there's quite a few Waffle Houses in Cartersville, Georgia. I would have probably said he went to the Dixie Avenue or the West Avenue or the one on Joe Frank's Harris Boulevard, you know. And I would have said he got to the one on Joe Frank, you know. But none of that matters, does it? But, you know, here's the thing is some of us have the gift of gab. Some of us talk too much. Some of us like everybody to know all of the details. That's me, okay? And we have to work on paring down our story. And I have, okay? And you ought to just say thank you, or my sermons be a whole lot longer than they were now, you know, if I hadn't worked on this over the years. But I got it honest from my mom. She could tell you goodbye on the phone, but her goodbye wasn't goodbye. It was like, you know, see you later, or be careful where you're going or whatever. And that would remind her of something else to tell you. She could easily tell you goodbye 3 or 4 times before you ever got on the phone with her, you know. I picked that up from my mom. My daughter picked that up from me, and at least 2 of her kids already have it too. Maybe all 3 of them already have it too, okay? We get that. And if you're one of those people, you got to really work hard on this, is sharing your story briefly, okay? And here's why your story is important. Let me give you 4 things real quick as I can give them, because your story is personal. You know, you're thinking, some of you are thinking, well, my story is not going to impress anybody. Your story is not powerful because of the oomph you share it with, or the drama that you build around it for the great reveal of how God delivered you or whatever. Your story is going to be powerful because it relates to someone else's story. You know, when I said what that old man said, that a relationship cannot grow unless love is mutual, that didn't do a thing for me, but that might have said something to some of you because it connects. That's why your story is important, because it's personal, because it's authentic. You know, if somebody's reading your story online, they think, I had never heard him use that good language. He used a chat bot to write that one, you know. But when you're telling your story, they know it's authentic. It's you. It makes the impossible possible, because when Bryce Crawford tells his story and he says, I was delivered that day from anxiety, I was delivered that day from depression, guess what? The person that hears that story says, well, if he can do it for you, maybe he can do it for me. Your story makes the impossible possible in someone else's life, and it impacts. Think about this. We don't communicate with facts. I mean, sitting around, you know, a coffee shop, we don't communicate with facts. If you, those of you who do, you're boring, okay? Quit doing that. We communicate with what? Stories. Let me tell you what happened to me today. I mean, if somebody tells you something, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Something kind of like that happened to you. We communicate through stories, and that's why your story is important. Remember what God did in Exodus around chapter 20? Is that my next slide? I hope. Yes. God sent a tablet when he gave the Israelites the law, but when he wanted to redeem us to himself and he wanted us to know him and come to him, what did he didn't send a tablet. He sent the living word, Jesus Christ, his own son, because story is important, because example is important, because experience is important. And that's why you need to share your story. But I know what you say. Go ahead, bring that next up, Beverly. Let's read it together. You say, I don't have a story of how one day God found me and delivered me from alcoholism or drug addiction or sexual promiscuity. I mean, I've heard people say that, but I don't have one of those awesome stories like that. You know what? Even if you do, that's really not your best story. Okay, it kind of goes back to that timeline last week, talking about Philip and the Ethiopian again, okay? Let's read this next one. My story, and many of yours, is not that one day God found me, but that he's always been chasing me. Over the last 2.5 months that I've been, you know, recovering from all this stuff going on, I haven't been able to do a whole lot. I've spent a lot of time with God, you know, and talking to him about stuff and everything. And you know, I begin realizing, you know, looking forward to what I need next, looking to today is how I can be better, looking back at the past and just seeing all those times that God was there, you know, and the things that I meant, my goodness, I was headed this way or I was friends with these people. And how did God rescue me out of that? But these people kept going their way, and I realized God's been chasing me all my life. And as I think back and over these past 2.5 months, you know, and still having back pain, still having brain fatigue and things like that, and there's been some days, you know, a lot of days, that I've said, God, why? Why am I still dealing with this? Now, some days it's like, God, why am I dealing with this? Some days it's like, okay, God, tell me, why am I dealing with this so I can learn it and get over it, you know. So it's a little back and forth, and a couple of weeks ago, I was in one of those days, and I was really like, God, just why? What is it? You know, and I just heard the words of a song in my head, an old song, 50-year-old song. I told, I knew Five knew the song, and I said, if I could trust my voice, we'd do the song today, me and you. And he was ready. He said, I'm ready. Just let me, and I just can't trust my voice. I hadn't sung in a long time, so, you know, I just couldn't trust my voice. But let me tell you the words that just came to my mind. Some of you might jump on board with this one. You might remember it. I thank God for the mountains. I thank God for the valleys. I thank him for the storms that he's brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I would never know God could solve them. And I would never know what faith in God could do. And that's why I sing through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend on his word. And that's part of my story the last 2.5 months. I don't know what else God's got to teach me. I wish he'd hurry and teach me so I get over past this, right? But that's also the story of Andre Crouch. He's the man that wrote and sang that song. A ton of people have sang it since then. I know it's at least 50 years old. I gave you a link in the sermon notes if you want to go and hear part of his story. But it's almost his elevator pitch. Because when he tells a little bit, I'm like, I want to know more. What was going on when you got this song? I want to know more about that. Is it a Billy Graham concert? Crusade. Thank you. I knew it was a C word, right? Billy Graham Crusade that he was singing at, and he shared that. So the song is there, but also part of his story. And I want you to see that. I want you to have some examples of that, okay? Because here's what I'm telling you, okay? Is God doesn't always deliver us from things. He often delivers us through things. And you know, you don't know a tenth of the stuff he's delivered you from. You don't know. I remember when I was a kid, my mom had a singing group. When I was a kid, everybody that could carry a tune had a singing group. And a lot of people that couldn't carry a tune had a singing group too. They could carry a tune. They could harmonize, okay? And I was a kid, and we were going to muscle shows. They were going to go sing a gospel singing, and we had car trouble. We didn't get 10 minutes from the house. Had car trouble, you know, had to wait for a mechanic to fix it. I don't know, an hour, 2 hours, something like that. Later that day, we heard that there had been a terrible multi-car chain reaction accident south of Muscle Shoals on the road that we would have been on. And somebody remarked, you know, that may be, God may have let us have this problem so we wouldn't have been involved in that. And you know what? Ever since then, I've realized there have been a lot of times God saved me, delivered me from something, and I never saw, I didn't know about the accident. I didn't know what he was delivering me from. You know, maybe you prayed because, you know, you prayed and you asked God to heal you and you got better and you thought you just had a pulled muscle or you had a cold or something, and actually God was healing you from cancer or a heart attack that you won't ever know about. We don't know all the stuff that God has delivered us from, but we know every single thing he's delivered us through. Think about that. You know the stuff he delivered you. I know what he delivered me. He didn't deliver us from a car accident 2.5 months ago, but me and my two grandkids walked away from a car accident. He delivered us through the car accident. And some of you, amen. I'm gonna let you clap some more here in a minute because you know the time he delivered you through sickness. Can I get an amen? You know the time that he delivered you through a financial problem. You know the time that he delivered you during the time of a miscarriage. He delivered you through the time of a miscarriage. You know the time that he delivered you through a time of abuse in your life. You know the time that he delivered you from suicidal thoughts. He delivered you through those suicidal thoughts. You had them, but he delivered you through. You know the time that he delivered you through the loss of a loved one.
Thanks for listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. If you have a need, we would love to pray with you. You can connect with our prayer team by emailing prayer@church2911.com or by texting 205-476-2911. You can learn more about our church by visiting us online at church2911.com and by connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram at church2911. We hope this message has encouraged you and reminded you that God loves you and has an amazing dream for your life. As always, we dare you to dream.